And with that, we are introduced to Mary Me Moses from right here in Lawrence, Kansas. Yeah, what's up? How you doing?
Hey.
Doing good.
I was going to push the applause button there, but we don't have one, so sorry. Four members of Mary Me Moses in the studio right now, and I'm going to introduce them as it is indicated in their bio, which they just handed me, which is cleverly written, and I thought I would share it, perhaps. This is straight out of the bio, by the way. On the guitar front, Alex Criticos brings an entirely unique style of lead guitar to the band, mixing elements of slide guitar, finger picking, claw hammer, and subtlety.
All true.
All untrue.
All true.
Half true.
Half true.
Yeah.
Which of those are true? Which one's not?
Subtle. If by subtle you mean kind of slow.
So not subtle. What's what instead of subtle?
Subtlety is one of the few things in that is true.
Really?
I'm definitely not fast and flashy.
Right. Okay. Musical.
Yeah.
Very important. Good.
We call it musical, those of us who can't play fast.
You are a musical band, so good. Also, on bass, as it indicates, bass frequencies are provided by Jenny Davidson. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. So, Jenny is the bass player, and then moving right along, we are missing Henry Criticos on guitar, but we do have one more Criticos. He is the lead singer, and his name is Ted, and according to the Mary Me Moses bio, he has been combining words into poetry since high school or before.
That's true. A little pretentious, and I even wrote that sentence, but it's true.
Ted used to write a new poem on the chalkboard every day of high school.
That's not true.
And I was jealous.
Okay, it is true.
That made him popular, and I wasn't.
He was very popular.
I was very popular in high school.
So do you just get to sing in this band, or are you like up front with the microphone, just that's it?
Well, it's just me and the microphone, and then from time to time I play percussion, like tambourine. I throw some tambo, which is more difficult than it looks. People make fun of me, but I do play percussion instruments from time to time.
Very underestimated, perhaps. I mean, sometimes you hear a tambourine and all of a sudden things just click, you know, just sparkle.
Yeah, the tambourine is one of the most important instruments. Yeah, not music producers. Instruments in pop music.
Okay, and finally, that brings us to the industrious and practical Mark Harries. Welcome.
Hello.
You play drums?
I do.
Awesome. That's really cool.
I play a little accordion on one or two songs.
And he sings backups.
I do, yeah.
Awesome. And you guys have a brand new CD, which is very exciting. It's called Engine Engine, and this is the second song. It's called The Accusation. Chance you're listening to that song and recognizing the voice from Jesus Christ Superstar, you would be correct. Ted is Mary Magdalene in the production. And is it okay that I shared that with people?
Yes, that's just fine. In fact, we just did that at Wakarusa yesterday, and I had to endure an entire day of people calling me Mary again and again. But that's okay.
Is that a role that was originally sang by a male or a female?
That's a good question, Richard. It was originally sang by a female. I kind of sing like a girl, as you can tell from these tracks. But I decided I wanted to sing it, and I'm also very comfortable with my vocal range, which I think the Lawrence Journal World is called a soprano, which we like to call tenor.
Counter tenor.
All right. And the formation of the band is described here, but I'm going to let you give it to me in my own words. How did you guys unite and find this common voice that we now call Marry Me Moses? They're pointing to Jenny, but she's not fielding the question. So.
Jenny, why don't you take this one, Jenny?
Well, there's some controversy as to how the band actually started.
This way we'll get it right.
But this is my version. My version is that Mark and I and another friend of ours got together to start a band and gradually added members, which included Ted at first and another guitar player. And we've had a couple guitar players leave the band for good reasons. I think one to get married and one to attend Harvard.
I love how you emphasize good.
Yeah. And so we ended up with our current guitar lineup, Alex and Henry. That's how it happens.
All right.
The controversy comes from the fact that the four of us minus Jenny were in a different band before this band. So
a completely different band.
Totally
Alex,
different
don't say
band.
Anything.
Some people.
A totally different band.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. So similar.
Two songs written in that. By that band happened to be on the CD, but it is a totally different band.
But you're not going to tell me what band it was.
It was the Family Reunion.
Okay, good. Well, so now
we
know.
Still have a lot of bumper stickers.
Okay. Well, here's some more music.
And I can tell by your accent that you're bound to roll.
All right, the name of the record is Engine Engine, and it is being released courtesy of Remedy Records, which I presume has something to do with the fact that you recorded it at Neighborhood Studios with Jerry, who also runs the record label, in part. So tell me about how all of this came to be.
Well, we entered...
Did we win a contest or something?
Yeah, we won two contests, one of which... Yeah, we won. Well, we didn't win. No, take it back.
We didn't win any contest.
Oh, that's right.
We won second place at
we
one.
We won
contest.
Second place at two contests. No,
we were the wild card in the Deadwood Derby. Yeah, we got second place in the Farmer's Ball from KJHK.
Yeah. Okay, now we're clearing this up. So from that second place prize, we got some recording time with Jerry Johnson. And so we ran in there and we're like, Jerry, let's just record some tracks. And he's like, you guys are the best band I've ever heard, ever. What I want to do is donate a bunch of time. And so essentially, Jerry donated a bunch of time. And
he owns our souls now.
Yeah. He owns... No, he
does.
Yeah,
he did. He gave us about twice as much time as he actually gave in the contest because he liked our sound. And then we sort of hired him on to be our producer to mix and master and produce the CD.
Hmm. How did that click exactly? Well, I mean, you know, what brought you two together musically, you know?
Well, Alex and I had known Jerry from just about town. He came into Mass Street Music all the time where we used to work.
And he also used to be a custom amp maker.
Yes.
And knew him from that. Guitarist, amp maker in town.
Very cool.
Bound to meet each other.
He also used to work for NASA.
It's true. I know him
yes,
from
he's
his
yeah, isn't it?
He's wicked
yeah.
smart.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So, he also put out Arthur Dodge's records and Danny Brown's records.
Right.
So that's a little context for the listener. The title of it, Engine Engine. Tell me about that.
Upon listening to the album, I was struck with how fast we played all the songs, many of the songs, and so I wanted to pick a name or offer to the band. A name that had some sort of momentum to it. So I thought, what about Engine? But that wasn't very good. So I thought, what about Engine? Engine, like really fast. And then I was like, yeah, that's cool. And I asked the band, and they're like, yeah, let's go with that. So Engine, Engine is what we came up with.
And it was a lot better than the previously suggested name, Astrology. Really, we even have like a mock record cover.
Walk it by.
Start with the song you already know. In a kind of love song, I'm not particular. Just as long as we start.
song you already know is what we're listening to by Mary Mee Moses. And unless you have any other mock titles that you want to tell me, do you? First, I'll ask.
That was the only.
That was good. That was good enough. Okay, moving on. Lyrically, Ted, I know it's hard to generalize, but perhaps on this song or in the album at large, tell me some of the stuff that you were thinking about.
Well, I've tried not, you know, essentially we've made a pop rock record. I think that's safe to say, even though our shows become much more kind of garage rockish, but they're pop rock records, and I tried to think within that genre. I guess I try to write lyrics that are about girls, but a little bit more sophisticated. That's about it. Like, sophisticated girly love songs is the best I can do.
About mature, sophisticated love.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Like, I think...
Well, like, immature love described in a mature, sort of biblical referenced way.
Yeah, it's very pretentious that way. And there's also, I don't know. I also have, there's a few darker songs on there, I guess. Like, Dark Hard Luck Trees, a song about someone who's going to kill somebody. It's really creepy. And I always have to apologize for it in every show. But, nothing super complicated about the lyrics, I suppose.
Okay. Did you have any other band names, mock band names, besides Mary Mee Moses? How did you settle on this one that we've come to, Mary Mee Moses?
Oh, man. Weren't you guys, like, sitting in my living room and flipping through a Bible and a dictionary?
Trivial Pursuit
cards.
Yeah. Do you enjoy Trivial Pursuit? Is that part of practice? Or
I think it came from we were joking with one of our members who had a girlfriend at the time.
Who's not here right now.
An unnamed member of the band who isn't here was dating a girl. We said, why don't we call it Marry Me, Insert Girl's Name, so that it would be uncomfortable for him on stage.
Like, hey, let's call it Marry, well, I don't know, Stace, Marry Me Stacy. Woo!
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, don't do that. And then I guess that kind of...
We did have the Bible open, so Ted saw that it'd be a nice alliteration for Marry Me Moses.
Yeah.
Which is some sort of a lead-in for song 4, hopefully. It's called All Coming Down. It's actually not a lead-in, but I'm going to make it one. Here we go.
Moving slowly, leaning forward, and just a push in the right direction. Then it moves without a sound. And then
very nice use of cowbell there. Very nice. Tasteful and delicious. Jenny?
Cowbell, tambourine, and hand claps.
Yep.
Was that Ted on cowbell?
No, I think Mark took the cowbell.
I think I overlaid that, yeah.
Good. Good for you.
Studio magic.
You have a show coming up to celebrate the release of this record. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yes, we do. It is coming up on Saturday, June 23rd. That's a week from the Saturday the 16th. And we'll be playing at the Bottleneck, and we'll have our CDs for sale there, $10 each.
And who will be with you?
The bands that are opening are the amazing The Eudoras, which are a local surf rock band extraordinaire, which many of you have probably heard of. And then a group that I've named the John Harrison Project, because he hasn't come up with a name yet. They'll be playing too.
Awesome. Is this your first full-length record?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Is it your first anything? First thing that you've released, period?
We did some home stuff, but nothing this good.
Excellent. So it's sort of perhaps a long time coming. How long have these five people been together?
Oh. Like
3 years maybe.
Yeah, so it's, you probably had even more tunes than the 10 that are on this record.
Yeah, but those are the only ones that
were good enough that we wanted to play them for 3 years.
For 30 years?
For three years.
Okay.
We have everything else, you know, burned away the chaff.
We have some stuff that we've written since we recorded this. So we're looking ahead to the future.
Yeah, the beautiful future full of new songs that we really like.
Yeah. Good. Is that Ted singing there? What? Is that voice from heaven? Hold on. Sorry, I just like to turn the random music up randomly.
That was very nice, Ted.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, I thought it might have been Jenny, but then I recalled that Kid Ted sings like a girl, and I just sort of...
I sing like a girl.
So why don't you set up this next one for us? It's coming up on track 5. It's called They Explode.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, They Explode is one of the very few songs actually written somewhat musically by me. I wrote the chord progression, which you can tell because it's very, very simple. And it's about things that explode, like stars and other things. Volcanoes, lovers' hearts.
Love.
I thought that was coming. Yesterday, hey. They used to think that all the stars, all the stars. Right. So, in the course of any band's existence, you're going to get those comparisons to other bands, and I'm curious which ones have you heard, and which do you agree with or not, or would you like to set up, you know, on your own terms? What does Mary Mimosa sound like? What type of music do you like?
I don't know that we've honestly heard any. We've been asked that a lot, and it's hard to come up with good comparison.
We have like a bar and a half where we sound like Television, and I really like that.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
And then there's those three chords that sound like The Who.
And we've got that song that kind of sounds like My Sharona a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, the opening on the CD.
Yeah.
I've been told that I sing like a girl.
We have some country influences, definitely.
To be honest, Ted, I don't think you sound like a girl.
Thank you.
I just think you have a good range.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You know who else sings like a girl?
Girls.
Robert Plant.
Yeah. We do cover Zeppelin pretty well.
Yeah, but
that's a good comparison.
Sometimes Zeppelin. He even looks like a girl if you're sort of far away from the stage and you just see the long hair and the tight pants. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, is there a band that you could settle on as a common, you know, favorite or a top three collectively between you guys?
I want this to sound like Television. Can we say Television?
The Beatles.
No, we all like Pearl Jam the best.
Oh, no.
Alex does it. Could we agree on Led Zeppelin? I mean, that's the only one we really cover.
Led Zeppelin meets the Beatles. We're the world's best band.
Alex, you like crazy bands, so we'll never be able to settle on one.
Cuban surf guitar.
Yeah. We sound like Captain Beefheart.
Not at all.
No, we can't. In short, no.
No, thank you.
You tried. I appreciate that.
No, but there's little bits of lots of other little rock bands in this, I'd say. Yeah, there's a little bit of Led Zeppelin sometimes, and sometimes you just hit a couple power chords, Who style, and
so
sometimes
I do
a little wanky Television stuff.
Right. I get the impression that you guys are tuning into the oldies dial when you're cruising down the highway. You know, is that
it's definitely 70s and 80s, early 90s rock oriented. There's very little that a contemporary audience can latch onto.
And yet somehow they do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I had a question. Let me just... Oh, yes. Your show that is coming up. Tell us a little bit about your plans for it in addition to, you know, rocking the house down and that sort of thing. Is there anything particularly, you know, newsworthy?
More lap steel than on the album. Like twice as much lap steel.
Yeah. Cool.
If you like it.
And who plays lap steel?
That'd be me.
Okay, that being Alex.
Yes, Alex.
And you conventionally were the guitarist up until recently, I guess, huh?
Yeah. No?
Still the guitarist, but also the pedal.
Still the lap steel. Still the guitarist. Yes. I was recently the guitarist. I was not one of the founding guitarists.
How was that instrument picking it up? Is it difficult?
The slide guitar? It's not too hard if you don't get too
good at it.
if you don't try to bite off more than you can, chew. Like, I don't do any crazy solos or stuff. I have a few parts, and I play those parts, and it sounds all right. And that's that. But okay. Yeah, it's not that bad.
More laughs. So. Any?
I think tonight we're gonna figure out something to put on stage. I want to.
All right.
Maybe some Christmas trees and snow again. We did that once.
Yeah.
Oh. Flannel.
Yeah, yes. Flannel shirts maybe.
Ah, uniforms.
Ginny doesn't want to wear flannel shirts.
I recently saw Morrissey in his backup band had coordinated outfits, and it worked to great effect. So
we've always wanted to try to do that, but it's never really worked out.
This might be the time. Also, I was going to ask, being involved so much with that Jesus Christ Superstar thing, did that work its way in here at all? You know, did that record play an influence on this one at all?
Didn't we once rearrange some of these songs and stuff and turn it into a rock opera?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some of these songs originally appeared in a rock opera about Paul Bunyan, which we haven't done since we won that or got second place at that contest. Not first place. They're like, Paul Bunyan rock opera. But I would say also it's made me doing the JCS thing made me a better singer in the range that I try and sing it, for sure.
I think we all did. Did you, Jenny, do you know that album? I mean, I know the Criticus Boys and I. Yeah, we all know.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, so we could all sing along with the whole thing. So, okay. Yeah, it's an influence.
Right. And anyone not familiar, you know, with it would do well to check out the Brown Album, as it's called. Yeah. It's the one that is the sort of rock cast recording, not the...
not any other
cheesy
one.
Theater recording.
Not Ted Neely, the guy from Deep Purple.
Right. All right, well, let's listen to more music. This song, can you set it up for us? Anyone with headphones?
What is it?
Next song.
Oh, perfect. Perfect timing. Number 7 is A Welcome Guest.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, this is sort of our power pop song.
What about all the other ones? I thought the other
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, they're all power pop.
Yeah.
We'll
this one's just louder, a little
yeah,
louder.
Yeah, louder and faster.
Yeah, a little louder and a little faster, so we play it towards the end.
Yeah.
So, getting so much work done on a Paul Bunyan opera, why in the world would you abandon such a project? I mean, why in the world would you begin such a project? Let's start there.
I think, well, we started there because I thought that it would be something that no one else on earth has ever done before. Like, it would be the first ever Paul Bunyan rock opera. And then, oh, you can go ahead, Alex.
I'm going to say, and coincidentally, we were slated to enter a battle of the bands and needed an edge.
We're like, yeah we're going to be the only Paul Bunyan rock opera at least at the battle of the bands. But then we typed into Google Paul Bunyan opera and it turns out there is one already.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's not a rock opera. We're the only Paul Bunyan rock opera.
Well.
But there is a Paul Bunyan opera.
I think it's a comic opera. Like ours is serious.
Yeah,
we
it's
take
really
this seriously.
Serious. Yeah.
So, I mean like fake trees and fake snow on stage.
It's very serious. Yeah.
I can't tell if you're being serious right now.
So what sort of themes carried over from that to this record?
The kind of angrier songs I had originally intended to be like sung by the villain of the rock opera. So there's kind of like different personas that make their appearances on the album, I would say. And there's also a song about lumberjacks on the album. So All Coming Down has lines about chopping down trees and whatnot. So you see, if you look for it, you'll see Paul Bunyan references on it.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
So my challenge question for you is, how would you compare the saga of Mary B. Moses to the saga of Paul Bunyan? What do you share?
Essay question.
This is an essay question.
Pretty equal number of pancakes involved, I think.
Yeah. I wore a lot of flannel in high school.
I am incredibly tall.
But I don't know.
What was it about the story that inspired you so much?
Well, it's a cool story, but I like all those old folk songs about, like, there's like the John Henry songs, which are so cool, like 9-pound hammer, and he's like beating the steam rail, and there's like all these great songs about folk heroes, or Casey Jones, you know, or it's like, well, I don't think anyone's done a Paul Bunyan song yet. And I was like, let's just go all the way.
Well, didn't you sort of make up the story to this?
Yeah.
I mean, based on Paul Bunyan's stories, but this one's a bit darker than...
Oh, yeah, my little opera, I guess. He's got, like, a girlfriend or something, and, like, the bad guy kills her, and he starts crying a river. I don't know. It's crazy.
And then Paul Bunyan kills the bad guy and buries him.
Buries him, and does he...
He walks into the ocean.
He walks into the ocean.
Yeah.
That's buried stuff.
Kind of a... Awakening-ish.
So it's an amalgamation of all the different Paul Bunyan myths, but then set in a horrible way that'll make kids cry.
Which is really what we set out to do in the first place.
Well, that's a... So anyone interested in picking up Engine can find it downtown, I presume, at Love Garden and Keefe's and that sort of thing?
That's right, Keefe's and Love Garden. Also, we're going to be doing it. You can get it on iTunes very soon.
Excellent. Can you tell us more about where to find information about Mary Me Moses on the worldwide internet?
I think currently we're on MySpace, so it's www.myspace.com.
Well, that's a big duh, I guess.
Slash. Mary Moses.
Mary Me Moses.
All right. One word.
No, it's
all
not one word.
All lowercase.
Three words. Well, guys, don't forget to go to the show. And
we
again,
won't.
It is.
I'm a girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Guys and girls, don't forget to go to the show. And the date is?
June 23rd.
Save the date at the bottleneck.
What is it, like 9 p.m.?
Yeah, it's I don't know. Show on up. 10 o'clock, 9 or something. We'll be there.
Good. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
coming
in. This was fun, and we'll go out with a little bit more music.
Cool. Can I read you at all? Though it's not-